with the ringing of that school bell. We know it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and I'd invite you at this time to get your Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter 35. We'll begin reading in a few moments in Jeremiah chapter 35 and verse 15. But before we get into our lesson, I want to remind you that on programs of the past here, we have had temperance lessons that have come up among these Sunday school lessons. And by a temperance lesson, we're talking about self-controlled, and in particularly, self-controlled around alcoholic beverages. Now, you know what that means? When it comes to the consumption of alcoholic beverages, self-controlled means you do not drink them. Now, I know people say, well, that sounds like an extreme position. But really, it's not as extreme as what the Bible teaches. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 31, the wise man Solomon said, "Look thou not upon the wine." Now, he says, don't look at it. That does not mean don't see it, because you're going to see it. Why, it's right out there in the grocery store, and you might be shopping for eggs and bread and milk, and then you're going to see it sitting there, and that's really a shame that we have it that abundant, where little children can walk by and see it and see adults getting it, and you know all the harm that can come from that. And you raise generation after generation after generation of those that are consumed by the alcohol. They think they're consuming it, but I tell you what, it is consuming them. So what does he mean when he says, "Look not thou upon the wine"? Well, he's talking about it the way that Job talked about looking when he said, "I have made a covenant with mine eyes not to look upon a maid." That doesn't mean he's not going to see a maid, but he's not going to look upon her with lustful eyes and for desire to do something sinful. It's like our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart." So this look we're talking about in this context is a look of desire. So when it says, "Look not thou upon the wine," what it means is don't desire the wine. You know, a lot of times we look at sin as only the sin of sin being committed, but every committed sin begins earlier with a problem in the heart. The wise man Solomon in Proverbs 23:31 does not say, don't drink too much. He does not say, don't drink a little. He doesn't even say, don't taste it. What he says is, don't look at it. Don't desire it. If you do not desire the intoxicating beverage, you will not partake of it. And so we need to heed that wise man Solomon's advice and not to desire it. Now, I have challenged those that are listening to this radio program to try to take their Bible and show me where the Bible will justify the casual use of alcohol consumption. Sometimes we call this social drinking, or people that just drink a little just to get a little buzz or something like that. And it's funny how they'll think, well, I'll just drink a little bit and get a little buzz and I won't get sappy drunk. But I'll tell you what, they're already becoming drunken when they get that. So they've already had too much. Now, I heard one individual try to make a comparison on this in a class he was teaching on the consumption of alcohol and the eating of peanuts. Now, he had a friend that had a peanut allergy. And there are those out there with peanut allergies. And very thankfully, that's a rare thing, but people do have peanut allergies. And so he's trying to make the point that what would be harmful for one person to do may not be harmful for another person to do. And we see this with peanuts. Why, if you don't have a peanut allergy, you can eat peanuts as much as you desire. But if you have that allergy, why, one peanut could kill you. And so we use that as the illustration. And that's true as far as it goes. But then this individual made a comparison between peanuts and alcohol, saying that while it would be wrong maybe for some people to partake of alcohol, it would not be wrong for others to partake of that. Now, I don't know where he's coming from on this. Now, I have known many people, but I have never met anyone that was immune to the effects of alcohol. Now, it is true. Some people may have a more readily apparent effect on some than others, but I've never known any that were immune. It might be that there is someone out there with a certain genetic disposition or something about them medically that is very odd, that they can consume alcohol and it not have any detrimental effect. But I'll tell you, that would be extremely rare, and I've never heard of it. So far as I know, alcohol is universally toxic, and that's why it is called an intoxicating beverage. But there's something else about this comparison between peanuts and alcohol consumption that just is so different, and it's so obviously different that you're going to see that, well, yes, I should have thought of that difference earlier, and that is just so clear. You see, the Bible says, "Look not thou upon the wine." The Bible never says, "Look not thou upon the peanut." Now, that makes a difference for those who honor God by honoring His Word. And even if you weren't being harmful by peanuts, I tell you, if the Lord told me not to desire them, even if I didn't understand why not to, I would never develop a taste or a desire for peanuts. I would leave them alone. He didn't say that about peanuts, though. He did say that about wine. And from the context there in Proverbs 23, it is obvious that this is the alcoholic wine. And it's because it has that intoxicating effect on you. I tell you, man really should not ever try to match wits with God, because man will always come off looking foolish. Now, there were some other things that were said to try to justify the drinking of alcohol that I'll take up with another program. Right now, I want us to turn our attention to Jeremiah, the prophet of courage. And I want to read to you Jeremiah chapter 35, beginning in verse 15. And Jeremiah writes, "I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ears, nor hearkened unto me. For as much as the son of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people have not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith Jehovah, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever." Now we're going to turn to the lesson, Sunday school lesson, that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday of June 3rd, 1923, about Jeremiah, the prophet of courage. Before we get to that lesson, I need to tell you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this Radio Bible School. And now with that, let's turn to this Sunday school lesson on Jeremiah, the prophet of courage. There's a golden text for this Sunday school lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. And there's also a devotional reading. And the devotional reading is the 46th Psalm. Here I'm going to read the 46th Psalm from the American Standard Version. For the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, sent to Almoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river. Its streams thereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of our Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of Jehovah. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let me give you the study we're really having is about Jeremiah, the Rechabites, and the Jews. And we'll find out more about them as we get into our study. There's a geographical note for this Sunday school lesson. Anathoth was only 2 or 3 miles northeast from Jerusalem. And according to Joshua 21 and verse 18, it was a city of the priest. Now let me read to you about Jeremiah. We read in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the words of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of Jehovah came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Hilkiah was Jeremiah's father. It is thought that he was a different man from the high priest of that name that was so prominent in Josiah's time. Jeremiah began to prophesy while he was young in Jeremiah 1 and verse 6. And continued from the 13th year of Josiah's reign until a short while after the downfall of Jerusalem, a period of more than 40 years. And he was carried into Egypt, where it is thought that he was martyred. In studying the reigns of Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin, or Jeconiah, also called Coniah in Jeremiah 22 and verse 24, and Zedekiah, one should study the book of Jeremiah, as he should study the book of Isaiah in studying the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Jeremiah prophesied of the downfall of Jerusalem and the nation because of sin, and then advised the people to submit to the Babylonians as chastisement from the Lord. We're going to end our class today and pick up at this point in our next Sunday school class. If you can, tune in.